Okay, guys, we gotta put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where it is actually the KNC Masterpiece. And right now, we bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear us, Stephen?
Hello?
Yes, hey. We can hear you.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, good.
Sorry, we just ran into a little bit of a technical snafu there. Our bad.
There you go. All good.
Now, you know, we had the opportunity to talk with you earlier in the week, and we'll get a chance to talk with you next week leading into the draft and everything. I would love your perspective on this. You talked about, you know, money down the line in terms of CD, Micah, Dak, everything like that. We haven't had the draft yet. What do you feel like y'all have accomplished thus far this offseason?
You know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, obviously our preparation for the draft is important. I think adding our linebacker was a big key for us. You know, he knows Mike Zimmer's system really well. I think he'll be a great addition out there on the field in terms of what he can bring leadership to the defense. And then, you know, I think adding, you know, pieces here and there, getting our running back and, yesterday, we're, you know, still not through. We'll still do some work. But, you know, you just have to be patient sometimes when you're not going to go out and, you know, and be overly aggressive with the dollars. As I mentioned, certainly we've got a lot of dollars earmarked for the three guys that I mentioned the other day.
How much does bringing Mike Zimmer in change your approach to what a Cowboys defensive player looks like? Because it feels like every level kind of changes in some way.
It does. I think anytime you bring in a new coordinator, you're going to have changes. And certainly Mike brings an edge, you know, coaches in a different way than Dan. Dan was very successful in the way he did it. I think Mike Zimmer's been very successful in this league with the way he does it. And certainly philosophically, you know, I think we'll be, you know, we'll have more of a three linebacker system rather than a two linebacker and a three safety system, which is really what Dan preferred. And, you know, I think the other thing is we'll probably look to be bigger and stronger in the middle. I think obviously, you know, our Achilles heel, I think the last two or three years has been stopping the run. And I think Mike will bring an edge and a philosophy that should help us improve in that area.
Does that also include then needing to invest more capital in that specific area?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we're, I think what the philosophy Zim brings to the table, I think fits what Mozzie did, which obviously we have a lot of resources tied up in Mozzie between what you pay a first round pick and using the first round pick. I think he fits more into what Zim does than maybe, you know, what Dan was trying to get out of him. So I think that'll be a big plus for us. And then, you know, as we move forward, we'll see, what the draft brings in terms of what falls to us and, you know, how we allocate our resources there. But we really like the defensive side of the football. I think Zim, you know, has come in, taken a look at our personnel We really like our personnel on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, we lost a couple of starting offensive linemen that we've got to look at. And obviously, we lost Tony Pollard, and we're still looking, you know, at that situation in terms of upgrading that as we move forward.
There's always talk about best player available in every single round. I was really curious if you got into a scenario where the best player available on your board in the first round even was a quarterback, would you pull the trigger on that, or would you consider that, even though that's not among the needs you just listed?
Yeah, you know, I just think all those are things that you look at as you move forward. It's hard to get out front right now and see what might be there, but certainly, you know, we'll go through all the different possibilities that may happen as we move into next week. Obviously, we've been hard at work getting our board put up and really getting everything sorted out the right way. Next week's a big week for us strategically in terms of, you know, the what ifs and looking at a situation like you just mentioned. If a position falls to us that we feel like, which we do, by the way, feel great at with Dak, and then of course our acquisition of Trey last year. Trey's done nothing but excite us even more. As he's worked here all of last season and then in the off season, in terms of his work ethic and, his skill levels, we're very pleased with.
You kind of were just diving into that work ethic and skill levels. Can you tell us anything else about the progress y'all have seen from Trey Lance? Because obviously fans don't get to see a lot of the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, he just, he exhibits everything that you would think a top five pick would exhibit, or a top 10 pick would exhibit, which is what he was in the draft. And that's why we gave up, a significant draft pick to get him. And, what you look for in these quarterbacks is certainly, the work ethic's a must to be successful in this league. It's a very demanding position. And certainly Dak is, I think one of the hardest workers that's ever come through our building. And certainly why he's had the success that he's had. Trey exhibits similar type work ethics. And then, obviously, Trey's a really good athlete in terms of being able to move around, his athletic ability. And then, finally, the most important thing is his arm. And he's got a very live arm, a very strong arm. And he continues to, improve, with his footwork and his accuracy, and which is what you expect from a young guy coming into the league. So, we're certainly very excited about him. And then, all Cooper Rush did for us when he got an opportunity to help us out when Dak got hurt a couple of years ago is go 5-1, which is, as we all know, is hard to do in this league. So, that's a very strong position for us right now as we head into next year in terms of what we feel about the three quarterbacks that we have on this team.
I like all the things you're saying about Trey there, and I'm kind of curious, because of the value of a fourth round pick, is there like a baseline that you of production or contribution that you kind of need from Trey Lance to justify that fourth round pick being not having it this year?
Well, in a perfect world, that's the hard part about being a backup quarterback. Yeah. Is in order for a guy to get a chance to play, you have to have an injury. Cooper certainly took advantage of his opportunity when Dak got hurt. And I don't think you can necessarily say, hey, we needed this kind of productivity. We know we have him, and it certainly keeps us from having to, at this point, feeling a real need to draft a quarterback. And that's certainly why we gave up the pick. And it certainly makes us sleep better at night knowing that we have the depth at quarterback that we have. I mean, we all know these quarterbacks in the in our league get hurt, and when they do, you're certainly glad you got the quality that we have at the quarterback position.
Definitely understand the depth and quality at the quarterback position for 2024. None of those players are under contract after that, though. How does that play into your decision making process?
No, I think that's why we're what we'll be looking at as we move forward. Is, as I mentioned, that certainly Dak's a priority in terms of his contract. And, certainly we'll be taking a look at Trey and, I know Trail look at his situation as well in terms of what he, you know, what his options are. And I'm sure a lot of that will depend on, you know, how everything works out with Dak. And certainly Cooper's been a strong backup here for us. But, you know, all those things will just have to play out.
The idea of trading down, trading up, moving around in the draft, I've always been kind of curious about this. When you're trying to trade down, what are you hoping to get the most in general? And then specifically with this 24 pick, if you were to trade out of it, what are you hoping to get out of it?
You know, you just want more multiple players. You make a decision that I'd rather have, you know, rather than have two players in the first two rounds, you get three players in the first two rounds. And, you know, as we see the draft unfold, that'll be the decision that we'll have. And certainly the opportunity has to be there. Someone's got to want to come up to get something. And then we've got to make the decision with the players that are left on the board, or we want to get a couple of those players rather than use the pick right there and get one player.
Do you have to wait for that phone call then? Like, if there's, let's say there's five players still on your board that you really like, do you ever call teams below you, or are you like, that's not going to be a good look because they're going to know we want to trade out?
No, I think most of the time when you're going backwards, your phone's ringing. And, you know, now if you want to go up, then you've got to make the initiation to want to make the move to go up and get the player you want to go get. But I would say most of the time, as you said, you know, unless somebody's really wanting to come up, there's really most of the time there's not a lot of value there. I mean, there are a lot of discussions before the draft, you know, that you know which teams are willing to move. And some teams are ahead of time looking for more picks. And sometimes, you know, there are teams that saying, hey, if our guy's there and we think he might be there, would you be willing to come out of it? And, you know, and of course, it's a lot of dialogue, but you know, it's all the above at the end of the day. If you really love a player, we've gone up to get them. If you really like the depth of the draft and what you have on your board, then we've certainly moved down as well. So, you know, it's just all in the preparation, getting your board right, and then you can make good decisions.
And so if we see one of those phone calls on the war room footage and y'all are high-five and the dialogue's gone well, then is what we're assuming, right?
Well, absolutely. And you know, obviously everybody has their own board, and that's why, you know, after the draft, you see very few folks that, you know, very few teams in this league that aren't pleased because, you know, they've drafted according to their board and they feel good about their players. And, you know, historically we've been able to draft good players. I think we've, you know, got a significant number of Pro Bowlers that have come by and through our draft. And, you know, we feel good about the way we set up the draft, and I feel like we're going to have another good draft next Thursday,
okay,
and Friday and Saturday.
I'm glad you said that about the board because, you know, we have Broadus on the station. He talks about that a lot, about, you know, window dressing your board and how it's going to look different from somebody else's. The whole world seems to have Caleb Williams as a generational type of quarterback. What do y'all have him kind of labeled as? Do y'all have him up there, or is there a different view on him from y'all's room?
Yeah, we like Caleb a lot. I mean, he's certainly one of the best players on our board, and we certainly like him as a player, and he's had a lot of success. And, you know, I think most people feel like he'll go, you know, very high in this draft, if not the first pick in the draft.
Now, one player that's high on everyone's board in the NFL is Micah Parsons. I'm curious, he was not at OTAs. He does his own thing. Does he walk y'all through why he works out other places? And did you see him getting punched in the stomach by a boxer?
I didn't see him get punched in the stomach by a boxer, but we're certainly aware of what Mike is doing. He communicates well with us. Mike actually sat with Jerry and I at the Super Bowl, and we watched the game with him. And obviously he's a generational type player, and doing a great job, I know, with what he's doing, and I feel good about where he is in the offseason.
The Overshown pick last year, I think a lot of people were very excited. After we saw what he was doing in training camp, there was a lot of excitement there for him too. And I kind of felt like he was out of place, but I trusted Dan Quinn to use him because I thought he was a little undersized. But then he showed that he could play that spot. How much can you put on his plate this season, or what's the realistic expectation there?
I'm sorry, you cut out on me there, guys.
What's the realistic expectation for DeMarvion Overshown?
Overshown.
Yeah,
absolutely. We, obviously we were sick when he got hurt because he was going to be a major contributor for us at the linebacker position. And, you know, we see him as being a significant part of this defense. And, you know, it's a big part of why we feel good about our entire defense. There's guys that didn't play at all last year, like an Overshown, or didn't play as much like a Mozzie, that we really feel good about our personnel on the defensive side of the ball. But certainly Overshown fits in with what Mike Zimmer wants to do there at the linebacker position, and feel like he'll be a big contributor in terms of our success on the defensive side of the ball.
The NFL just reinstated 5 players that got suspended last year for violating the league's gambling policy. The NBA just had a player banned from the game for life. Obviously, we've talked about the gambling world that sports has gotten more and more into. Do you feel like everyone across the league, and especially everyone on the team, is now very familiar with the do's and don'ts of gambling when it comes to the NFL's policy?
Absolutely. I feel like, we educate our players, we educate our employees, league employees are educated. I think everybody understands. And certainly, sometimes people are better at making sure they understand than others. And, that's unfortunate when players do get suspended or people get suspended. So, but I do think the league does a great job of really outlining the do's and don'ts, and all the things, all the rules that apply to the NFL.
Appreciate the insight and time. As always, good sir. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Sounds good.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. I saw that look on your face, Corey. You did not think that sounded good to him. I understand.
He got to his destination. He did that interview with us in the truck or something.
Gotcha.
And he was like, oh man, hold on. I got a boogie. I got to get out. But he didn't want to tell us. You know, he was like, I got a commitment here, so I'm going to fulfill it.
Coming up next, we didn't get an opportunity to dive in this earlier. This time we'll do it for real. 877-881-1053. Your official playoff predictions for Stars Golden Knights and Mavs Clippers. Plus, if you need to complain about the start time of some of these games, we can do that too. Next on The Fan.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get 3 seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Blues continue to lead 1-0. Jump on Harley deflected and did not make it through to Bennington. Back out it comes. Blues puck in front. Score! Marchman! The Stars tie the game.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time for your official predictions for Stars Golden Knights, not the Kings, and Mavericks Clippers. Now, I realize that series will get going on Sunday. Stars won't get going until Monday. But let's go ahead, knock out all your predictions right now. And if you want to complain about what time some of the games are starting at, I think we should allow that as well. Also,
but if you're going to complain about the questions we ask on this show to anybody, I'll mute you. Just letting you know.
Oh, did that happen?
Because you're not really listening. You're not really listening.
He doesn't know how to.
You're not really doing. No.
It's an empty threat.
I'll mute it. No, yeah.
I don't think you will.
I'm muting you on Twitter right now.
What? Oh my gosh.
You're one of my favorite follows. I love following you. Now I have to mute you because you dared me.
But he's still following. For the 817. It's weird. Can I get a shout out? Yes, it is shout out Friday. Toloing all the way from Melbourne, Florida this weekend for my cousin's wedding. That's our Tolo Ryan from Fort Worth.
Is it pronounced Melbourne in Florida?
Probably not, but I thought it would build the drama better if I said Melbourne.
Okay. All right. I was thinking about this yesterday, Kevin. We've had...
Were you?
No, yes, absolutely. We have a listener in Japan.
It's true.
We have listeners... We've had listeners text in from the European countries.
Uh-huh.
We've had them text in from below the equator.
Yep.
Are we the world's favorite radio show?
In your face, Pat McAfee!
That's the best thing is like... Look, man, if you can have that tiny country, America, cool. We have the world, bro.
I'm proud of that.
If you're in the world, text in.
Get a meter.
And let us know.
I mean, never mind. Strike that.
Yeah, you might want to dump that.
No, you don't. If you have... Never mind.
If you're in the world...
Thank you for listening.
And you love the show, tell Kevin that you love Kevin.
Or the show is fine. I appreciate it either way.
And as we know, Kevin is the show.
That is ridiculous.
Fact.
No.
It's not what you said when you called me last.
Shut up. That is not true. People are going to think that's true. That is not true. From the 903. Stars in six. Vegas being the defending champions is a factor. Mavs in five or six versus the Clippers. I'm telling you. If the Mavs win the series against the Clippers, it's a big deal regardless. If the Mavs beat the Clippers in five and Kawhi is playing some, holy moly. I think you put everybody on notice. Maybe they already have.
What if they win in four?
Well, then I think you should be the favorite.
More notice?
In the second round.
Is it more notice?
Yes. If you sweep the Clippers, that's right. I think you should be the favorite in the second round.
Hey, I just don't know what more notice means. I'm stuck on that.
Oh, I thought that was the...
Who are you playing in the second round?
About OKC. Theoretically, OKC. Not for sure.
Who do you think it's going to be in the second round?
I think it's going to be Oklahoma City.
Okay.
In the second
round. That's all I was really asking. I don't care about theoretics.
What was that word you said?
Theoretics.
Okay.
It's a book by L. Ron Hubbard.
Are you not a literacy person?
Back from the 817, shout out to my wife, Jackie. Tomorrow is our baby shower for our first child. That's one way of reading it. Here's the alternate way of reading it. They did not put a period after Jackie and capitalized tomorrow. So theoretically, the sentence could go like this. Shout out to my wife, Jackie. Tomorrow is our baby shower for our first child. Her name could be Jackie tomorrow, but I think...
But then why would they be asking you if their baby shower is tomorrow? Because that's what it sounds like.
Can't say. Fantex is a strange place.
Maybe they're hoping Kevin's the one planning it.
You haven't planned the baby shower yet?
I'll tell you this right now. I guarantee you I could plan a kick-ass baby shower for tomorrow if I had to.
Twolo Justin said, hi, Kevin. You are the best show from space.
Not...
Loved Twolo Justin. We're not even Earth. Now we're the universe, too. Thank you, Twolo Justin.
Are they going there for your wedding? Is that what's happening?
Probably.
Okay.
Get me out of this
That's
world.
Just the moon.
From the 214... Mavs in four.
We're just going to act like he didn't say just the moon?
Look, he has made a lot of bold space-based proclamations this week. I know you've been doing the get right, so this seems shocking to you. I have heard plenty of moon talk and space talk from Corey this week. I am desensitized to that.
Yeah, man, it's been my space jam lately.
God it from the 214. God. That was very clever, though. From the 214, Mavs in 4, Stars in 5. This is incredible from the 682. Mavs and Stars sweep their way to the finals.
I appreciate that level of just brash confidence in your teams. Yeah. The one that has me a little, I don't know, confused is Mavs in 4, Stars in 5. Which of these teams do you think you should be more bullish on in their series? That's
Stars.
The question. Yeah, that's the way that I viewed it. But it seems like, and maybe I'm just going off of one and letting that affect my thoughts, it seems like more people are more bullish on the Mavs compared to the Stars.
I don't know if that's from an interest perspective.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure. But if you just look at the matchups, it's a pretty close betting matchup between the Clippers and the Mavs. And the Stars have emphatically declared themselves as the best team in the Western Conference. I don't think right now you're going to say anyone will say the Mavericks are the best in the Western Conference yet.
I think nationally, when it comes to the Mavericks, it's become they're the scariest team to play. You don't want to play that team. Whereas the Stars, you don't want to play them, but everybody already knew that. You know, like that's where I feel like that conversation, from what I've heard nationally, has been the Mavericks are the scariest, not the favorite, but the scariest.
Yeah.
Because they'll jump up on you and you didn't quite expect it. Where the Stars is like, look, it feels like maybe there's more pressure on them because they're already in that spot.
From the 229, I love Kevin, but I'm in downtown Dallas feeling underappreciated. Like, because the city you're in or just underappreciated as a person? Please follow up. I would love to know. From the 469, I'm in the world. Kevin deserves a raise to deal with Corey and Mike.
I feel
Mike.
Like you only read that.
If you could email gavin.spittle@odyssey.com.
Throw my name in there, too.
Your raise is what it is, man.
Yeah, you should ask for a raise for Reggie. We got it taken care of. What?
What kind of person is that? It's like, I've gotten enough. It's fine.
Yeah. I want others
totally down
to
that,
prosper. I want you to prosper as well, Reggie.
Yeah, I really want you to go to, if you want to go to prosper, that's fine. I don't know about whatever.
Weird.
But yeah, I want you to be good.
Never mind. Thanks, man.
Taken care of.
Never mind. I hope you get less money now.
That's not possible.
Shut up. Hey.
Real life alert. 12:33.
Holy moly.
36. Kevin, I've got Stars in 5, Mavericks in 7.
Okay. All right. How nervous are you then? Because naturally, a series that goes to 7 is, you would think, you don't, it doesn't have to be competitive games, because we've seen that. You get to game 7, you're like,
yeah,
none of these games have been competitive.
That was such a weird series.
But that is a competitive series. Are you nervous about the Mavs' prospects against the Clippers then? Because going to 7 would feel like, yes.
Not entirely. Like, I felt like this is a six or seven game series, and so I'm actually less on the brink of 7 which way. I'm more on the brink of 6 or 7 in favor of the Mavs, if that
okay.
makes sense.
Okay. I think I'm going to go Stars in 6. If it was the Kings, I would have gone gentleman sweep, but I'm going to go 6. I just think Vegas is a more complex matchup, and there's something to say for either previous playoff matchups or being the defending champs or, you know, any different number of ways that you want to slice it. I feel like I've been pretty upfront. I do not like this matchup for the Stars as much as I would have the other way around. But I still like the Stars at 6. Like, this is a damn good team, and I still think they're going to win.
So I guess I have it reversed there. I have Stars in 5.
Okay.
And that does not discount what the Knights are. But I think the Stars are so focused and so locked in right now, and they are going to look at what was last year's loss in the playoffs as a, we got to make it right this year, and they're not going to cut any corners, all right? That is, they're gonna go out there and just torch these guys, all right? Put them in
late,
the boards.
Late at night, baby.
Lay the wood. They're going to do all those things. And then I have the Mavs in 6. So that's my flip there is I think it's going to be a bit of a chess match. Tyronn Lue's actually become a pretty good chess player in these playoffs.
Did you hear Kyrie's take about that, like, exact thing?
Yeah.
I love it. He said, it's the beginning of a chess match. And he said, you're trying to think 3 moves ahead, trying to see different things that your opponents are going to risk and what are they going to show. That is fascinating to me of, like, game 1 in terms of not only trying to get the series advantage, but How much are you going to reveal of your series-wide kind of game plan?
There's got to be nothing better than being a coach that knows so much about your team and the opponent and going into a matchup going, I know we can win with just this in this game. But in the process, not getting too cute with it, but in the process of it, I'm going to set them up for game two or game four in game one with this.
I think that is a very astute observation.
And I don't know. Here's my thing, though. I don't know that Jason Kidd is that yet. And I don't know that any of us do know that. Now, was Jason Kidd that during their run to the Western Conference Finals, or were they just... Were they just hot because Luka is what Luka is? They were a very different team then.
And I refuse to be in the boat that this team succeeds in spite of Jason Kidd or fails because of... You're not saying that. The people that do and fail because of him, I refuse to be part of that group. You can break down the credit or blame however you want, but if they get to the Western Conference Final, he has to take some part in that.
Yeah, Kevin... I don't want you to take what I said out of context ever again.
I said other people.
That
was a little spicy.
But like
my take on Kidd, and I think it's very fair, is I don't know enough yet. I really want to know what kind of mastermind he is when it comes to, look, I got a 7-game series here. How do I play this out? Oh, I got surprised that I didn't even have to show anything because we won it in four. Like, I don't know how he does this. I don't know his rotations. I don't know all of that yet. I'm excited to learn but we need more of these opportunities. But this could be, because we think he's a basketball IQ genius in game.
Yeah.
When he has the ball in his hands.
Fair.
I want to know, did he always have a lot of series thought in how he plays this? I'm excited about it, man.
Did you see a couple days ago what Jason Kidd said about his rotation? He goes, I'll let you guys go ahead and speculate on that to the media. He goes, because I know that's what you guys like to do anyway. I thought, oh, I get his point. Like, there's been a lot of discussion about that, so I appreciate that.
Did you say that Derek Lively is ready to roll?
That's
what Jason Kidd said in the media today.
And what he provides for you in this series is utterly fascinating to me, because first of all, he's a really good player, but he's also coming back from not only an injury, but the death of his mom. So you talk about like the physical aspect to get back into the game, the mental aspect to get back in the game. I think Derek Lively has been fantastic this season for the Mavericks. Not really a bold thing to say, but I'm very fascinated to see what he does when he comes back. The 601, could this be the most adorable text we have ever gotten, Corey? Can I get a shout out from my 3-year-old daughter, Wilder? She always asks, Daddy, you listening to 5-3 The Fan?
Love it.
That's tremendous.
Hell yeah, man.
I love that.
Shout out to you, Wilder.
What a badass name. That is so cool.
That is
cool. I hope she lives up to it, too. I hope that she is a little bit of chaos, but also whenever you go outdoors, you're good, because she's taking care of those bobcats for you, you know?
Fair. From the...
How cool would it be, Reggie, to see a 3-year-old knock out a bobcat?
Not cool at all for me. I'd be so concerned for that child, bro. What?
But then the 3-year-old just turns around and is like, I got you, Dad. Don't worry about it.
And then I'd be scared of the child. Like, there's no happy middle in that place for me.
Sure.
I'm concerned either way.
That's your kid.
I'm the captain now.
You're like, no, yeah. The kid doesn't want to take over. Just wants to protect you because you're Dad.
Yes, neat that that's what you think. From the 469, I'm listening for from El Salvador. Can I get a shout out to all my Salvadorian peeps?
What's that name?
Fantastic.
Is that below the equator?
Were you going to say below the Ecuador?
Yeah. That's what I thought he was going for as well. I didn't think he was mispronouncing equator. I thought he was saying, is that below the Ecuador? But I knew what you were getting at.
Also, El Salvador is in Central America, correct?
Are you asking?
Are you asking Corey that
question? I asked the question first. You can't ask the question again.
From the 469. I hate to say it, but both the Mavs and Stars out in six.
You doing right now?
That's what this person said, because they have bad Cowboys-Packers vibes. Don't let what happened to the Cowboys taint your experience. Don't forget the Rangers won the World Series, so there's that to process. But
they're all different teams, right? Cowboys and stuff. Kevin, this is all on us too. Because don't we keep letting the Rangers' successes as a team that just barely got into the playoffs, like, mess up our perspective on how the world's going to go? What did you see?
I'm sorry.
We can't even do a show because the fan text is so hilarious.
This is very funny because I made the declarative statement of, I don't think anybody is saying the Mavs are the best in the West from the 214. Hey, Kevin, I'm someone, and the Mavs are the best in the West. Comment rescinded.
That's right. You are someone.
Fair enough. Exactly. For the 940, I've been in 17 countries, and you guys are great. I love that.
Yeah, tell me another country that has a radio show like this. I'll wait.
Good question. While he waits, from the 203, Kyrie is going to go off in this series. Mavs in four. Man, if the Mavs win this in four, I'm going to have to rethink.
There's no way.
We're just going to the Western Conference Final. I'm going to be like, we're going to be the cause of the Celtics blowing up their team after we beat them in the NBA Finals.
There is just no way it's going to happen. I can't see it. I can see five. I just can't see a sweep like that.
Yeah.
It's just too difficult to do that. It is difficult.
From the four,
but I hope.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. From the 469, Stars and seven. Only concern there is that Vegas is the defending champ and they play a style that can physically challenge the Stars. I agree. From the 903, it's only fair that we read both sides. I'm in the world from Fort Worth. Kevin, you suck.
Okay.
It's fair. You got to do both sides. But they also said Stars and six, Mavs and six.
Somebody says, well, I can't read that.
Do you need help sounding it out or?
Equator. This is Tolo from Connecticut checking in from the 203. Thank you very much for that. The 972. I say both Dallas teams win in four. From the 817, Stars are playing the Kings, LOL. They're definitely not. That was the matchup that I had hoped for.
You wanted that.
That is.
You were like, I want the Kings.
I just thought that was just a
bring
really,
on the Kings.
Really good matchup for this team. But I still think the Stars will win, and I think the Mavericks will win. I'm excited about the
upcoming schedule. From the 972, bet some beer on it. It's going to be a 4-for-4, Kevin. So I don't know if they want to bet you beer or if they want to, they already have bet some beer on it. I don't know exactly what it is.
Man, I'm going to jot that person's number down. If both the Stars and Mavs sweep, I will buy you some beer.
Woo! We got a beer bet, ladies and gentlemen.
Mark it down.
I would like also.
Actually, a brew bet. Brew sounds better than beer.
It is restricted to this one person.
I also would like in on that bet.
Nope.
Can I make it a root beer bet?
Yes.
Nice.
Hold on, you're going to let him bet root beer, but you won't let me bet beer?
That's right. Weird. Because of the aforementioned money conversation that we had.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's why we got to help out. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Did we need more? Do we want more of this?
You can continue to send in. Look, send in some more predictions. I see all the other things about people from actual places. Fictitious places, or let me try that again. Places that are real, but you don't live in, that are texting in to the show right now. You're not texting in from Jupiter. You're just not. Trying to make me feel more stupider.
What if they're in Jupiter, Florida? You don't know that.
Well, that's a good ass point, Reggie. Let me tell you this about the Stars. I'll rescind that statement as well. Not a good day for me. We talked about the Stars across the board. 8 players, 20 goals or more. A couple of other things you should know going into the postseason.
Which Reggie and I nailed, by the way. You got all of them right.
Eventually.
You got 7 of them.
With your help.
Yes. The Stars are second in the league in goals per game. They're 4th in expected goal percentage, 5th in power play percentage, 5th in goal differential, and top 10 in penalty kill percentage. You're looking at not just some of the key categories, like most of the key categories of how you win hockey games going into the postseason. So outside of their record, which is obviously phenomenal, second best in franchise history, you see them keying off in all these different points. So it's not only versatility from the people who can score, it's versatility on the special teams. It's a team that looks awesome going into the playoffs.
And I think it's not just a team on paper that looks awesome. Like, they passed the eye test too. And that the complaint about the Cowboys, which is a different team than the Stars, is that they look like you have all these numbers that you can point to that you're like, hey, they're good at these things, man. And then the eye test, you're like, but what am I seeing that's wrong? Stars pass the eye test too.
They do.
And so that's why I have a lot of confidence in all the numbers you just threw out there, because what I see is it pairs up with it. Here's my only concern, really, is matchups can create such problems, and the Knights can be a matchup problem. And so, as good as you are in that, in the regular season against all teams, are you that whenever you have this one opponent that's really good at taking that away from
yes.
you?
Look, I think you have hit spot on to my concern about this matchup. And I have to admit, a little bit of that trickles over with the Clippers as well. Even though we talked about the irrelevancy of the previous playoff series when it comes to Mavs-Clippers, I still keep thinking, you know, Kawhi's status might kind of be in flux right now in terms of game one, but it seems like he's definitely trending towards making an impact in this series. And I keep thinking, the Clippers have found a way to get it done, even with the new look Mavs and everything like that. So I do have to say, from a mental perspective, beating the Clippers and beating the Golden Knights, I feel like will be a big step for both. Not only
not
getting out of the first round, but mentally getting over those hurdles,
specific
ghosts
opponents.
Of playoff pass. Yeah. I think that is a big deal.
Now, I mean, that kind of goes back to, I mean, it's years ago, but beating the Yankees in the playoffs was that I was like, hey, bring on the Yankees as early as I can. If I can beat them early, I feel pretty confident against any other opponent after that. And so, Kevin, that goes to a lot of times that other mentality that I say of give me your best. While you're like, I'll take the easiest path to that championship. I'll get it. Give me that best, because I do need some. There's some adversity I have to overcome on my own.
Are you okay if I dramatically switch the subject but stay on sports?
Ooh, sure.
Okay. How much does our audience care about the Olympics? I'm going to start with you, but if you want to hit us up on Twitch,
our
on the
audience?
YouTube, and text in 877-881-1053, how much do they care about the Olympics? I'm going to start with you. How much do you care about the Olympics?
All right. When it comes to Olympics, there are certain sports that I like dive in on. Winter or summer, Kevin? Which
summer.
One? Summer. There are certain things that I'm interested in. So every once in a while, they'll throw something in, or I'll catch something that I'd never seen before, and there's a great announcer that's like explaining something in a way that I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And now I'm like in tune to what they're trying to accomplish. But for the most part, Dan and Dave
right.
drew me into the Olympics as a child. That's what got Michael Johnson drew me into the Olympics. FloJo, like all those, there were characters, there were stories, there were things that I was like, that is something I've never heard of before, and I want to see that pay off. Dan Jansen and the Winter Olympics fell. Every time you thought he was a favorite, he'd fall. His sister has cancer. He falls, and you're just like, oh my gosh. That's the kind of thing that, like, I'm into the journey. But for the most part, I haven't felt attached to it the same way since I was a kid.
I think because of that, NBC is changing up their strategy for the Paris Olympics coming up in a few months. So, end of July. NBC Universal has spent $7.8 billion in rights fees on the Olympics through 2032. Paris Olympics coming up this summer, so they're switching up their strategy. NBC has brought on, there's more, Peyton Manning, Snoop Dogg, Kelly Clarkson, Jimmy Fallon to go along with their regular coverage.
So, I'm just trying to figure out, are they bringing them in as like analysts? Because... or is are they creating shows around it? Because that could be fun.
So Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson, for example, are going to co-host the opening ceremony with Mike Tirico. That can make sense to you, right?
They know how to host ceremonies.
Snoop Dogg is going to be doing man on the street type stuff.
It's going to be great. And, that'll be great.
And so I don't think they're like, and now Peyton Manning is here to also judge rhythmic gymnastics. Like, I don't think that's how it's going to go. They're trying to make it more of a TV presentation
yes.
on certain channels as opposed to just, now we move to this, now we go to this, now we go to this.
Yes. Okay. That's interesting. I think, like, the Fallon thing, you can build something around him, and you're connecting his audience to the sports.
And for Clarkson, tell me how much you love this quote. I love finding out how people overcome their circumstances, how they get to where they are, especially at this level. I love the human story. So they're going to be trying to dig into more of the, here's why you should root for this person.
Is she doing like Barbara Walters type stuff where she does one-on-one sit-downs with them and she's the interviewer? I guess she hosts a show.
Yeah,
like she has the Kelly Clarkson show where she basically takes every other person's music and then she does it better than them. Have you ever heard that?
Go
listen to all the versions of songs. Okay. She's like, I'm better than you. Watch this. And she nails it. And you're like, dang.
Now, here's another reason.
And she told Taylor Swift to re-record all of her albums because that
so she could own
Braun
the masters,
guy.
Yeah. Right? That makes a lot of sense to me.
Brilliant idea.
Here's another reason they're doing this. The Olympics are 17 days long. NBC.
Shorten it?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what NBC is saying either.
Three months.
They're going to have 7,000 hours of coverage. Now, if you want me to do the math for you, done.
Please.
You might be thinking, hold on. Is 17 days 7,000 hours? No, it is not. In fact, to reach 7,000 hours of coverage, you would have to have 17 channels running Olympics 24 hours a day for the entirety of that 17-day window.
Are they counting Peacock?
Yes. So they're going to count. Obviously, you're going to see on its other affiliates like we have for several years. You're also going to have multiple streams going across on Peacock. You're also, Peacock will provide more live coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling it's going to be a big part of it. But the point is, if they're paying all of the money, they're going to squeeze everything they can out of it. So they're bringing in celebrities, but they're also going to have differentiated live coverage and 7,000 hours of stuff. Will this make an impact, or do you think it will still come down to, that's awesome, and the same people who watched the Olympics before will still watch it again, while the same people that you want to watch the Olympics that aren't going to watch the Olympics still won't watch the Olympics?
Well, Kevin, I appreciate all the things you said just now, but there's one other element that has always made the Olympics a reason to watch, and somebody texted in earlier. They said it's as close to risk as you can get without really being that.
Huh?
Isn't that something that always drew
the
us in?
The board game risk?
The political and global climate. And I'm not talking about, like, you know.
Well, if something's happening.
Heat and cold. I'm talking about the climate of politics in the world. Isn't that something that's always been a draw?
That is true.
Our country is still trying to defeat this.
We, as ridiculous as it might sound.
Olympics is proxy war.
One of the things about the Miracle on Ice is not only was it an upset in sports, you kind of felt like, hey, we can take down the communists.
Yeah.
If we could win in hockey, we could surely win in geopolitical things.
But that was also a proxy war-ass war to begin with.
I mean, do you not see potential parallels to what is happening in the world right now?
Maybe.
Okay. I'm not saying that, like, America defeats China in something, and then they're going to be like, see, now let's go back up Israel.
Oh, my
gosh. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Politics.
But if you brought up the game of risk, that's...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm dead serious about that. For the longest time, there was that connection as things were going on around the world. So I've always thought that adds something to it. Because didn't it feel like... At some point, a president from another country or whatever would just kind of, they'd walk out there and square off with each other and we'd be like, see, we already took it. We sent our guys out there. We can beat you physically. I don't know, man. I always just kind of felt that way.
Corey, you do know. That's the one way to solve your ratings for the Olympics. If It was the Olympics of world leaders. I
just sit them out there and let them compete against each other.
Every conceivable second that I could of all of that.
Geopolitical celebrity boxing is what you're saying?
Well, 100 meter dash, hurdles.
Yeah, I want to see them all.
High jump.
Oh, okay.
I want to see them with the little ribbon.
You can see like Pete Buttigieg doing the steeplechase or something.
Yes. Somebody. I do.
Somebody just kind of go, I'm tired of this guy, and then throw a javelin.
Yes, I do. But
it would fix everything.
Just for the record, of all the Olympic changes I put forth, those are not on the table.
Dang it.
Just the things that I had told you.
All right.
You
well,
about.
I'll accept those for now.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
This is another reason why we love baseball. Next on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.